You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, and available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, here with you all on this Draft Wednesday edition of Locked On Pelicans. Skipping yesterday's podcast due to some technical issues, some just abject tiredness of watching the national championship game and staying up very late for a very fun game and what ended up having a happy ending in my house here with Alabama winning. So we've got a lot to talk about on the podcast today. We do want to recap that Detroit game a little bit, particularly the fourth quarter from DeMarcus Cousins and the team stepping up in the absence of Anthony Davis. Also, before we really dive into anything, I'll give you an update on the Anthony Davis injury and what we heard at practice yesterday from head coach Alvin Gentry. Second segment, I want to talk a little bit about Jrue Holiday. I've been hard on him, and deservedly so, I think, at times. But I also want to give credit to the guy when he is playing extremely well, like he has been. We're going to look at some of the numbers. We're going to talk about his role with the team, exactly what's been going on there, and probably talk about that maybe a little bit tomorrow as well, because he is having a tremendous resurgence year, I guess is maybe the way to put it. And then finally, in the final segment, we'll preview tonight's game at Memphis, the Pelicans' mindset going into that, what we need to see out of them, and kind of wrap everything up. Maybe, if there's time, take a quick look around the Western Conference in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans, brought to you by Draft. So before we get into the recap of the game and talk about DeMarcus Cousins, his fourth quarter play, and then the first three quarters that led to that, and him needing to go off as he did, we do have to mention the Anthony Davis injury. So in the win over the Pistons, Davis did leave the game in the third quarter with an apparent ankle injury. Yesterday at practice, Alvin Gentry gave an update saying that the x-rays came back negative. We already knew that after the game. So x-rays came back negative, and the ankle for Davis is very sore. He's likely not going to be playing tonight against the Memphis Grizzlies. He, as of the time this is being recorded and everything, and when you're listening to this, likely in the morning, the official injury designation is doubtful, so likely not playing is safe to say there. Against the Memphis Grizzlies, as there's a buzzsaw going on behind me as they build condos, more condos everywhere in New Orleans. So if you can hear that, sorry, I've tried to dial the mic down for that. So doubtful for the game against Memphis. And they said the good news is there's no structural damage. So this is probably just a really sore ankle that he is just needing to rest, and hopefully Davis will be good to go Friday against the Portland Trailblazers. That's certainly a game where the team will need him. That's the update right now. Might change as the day goes on, we get closer to game time. But with this being a one-off game in Memphis, I'd say maybe there's a chance he doesn't even travel with the team just to rest and stay off of it. Potentially. We'll find out. Don't know for sure just yet. But Anthony Davis listed as doubtful. No structural damage to his ankle. So the game last night against the Detroit Pistons, a 112-109 win for the Pelicans, in a game they really needed a victory from, showed off the good and the bad. And I was on ESPN Radio 100.3 down here yesterday talking with host Gus Kattengill of the Sports Hangover, as I'm on once a week with him. And I said, this game just sums up the Pelicans in everything we've seen from this team. There's a lot of good, there's a lot of bad, and sometimes, you know, the good outweighs the bad. And that's what happened last night. Look, the Pelicans did kind of exactly what you want them to do on offense and even defensively at times. They had 68 points in the paint. Think about that one for a second. Nearly 70 points in the paint out of their 112 points scored. That is very impressive. And this was led by Anthony Davis, who through the first three quarters and up until he played in the 26 minutes just went bananas. And you needed to see this from him big time. After the previous game where he kind of sleptwalked through Minnesota and no one looked like they wanted to play, and Davis didn't even look awake at times. That was the running joke on Twitter. Came out with 30 points in 26 minutes and 10 rebounds. Shot 85.6% from the field because he knew what he needed to do, and that was get inside. None of these lazy mid-range contested as much as you can contest an Anthony Davis mid-range jumper. No shooting threes. He took one three on the night. That's it. He was going to get the ball inside and score that way, and he did. Now, the rest of the team wasn't quite there with him on the intensity scale, other than Rajon Rondo, who, by the way, finished with another 15-plus assist game, finished with 15 on the night, 12 points, and had 15 through like three quarters. It was basically just absurd. These guys were keyed in. He and Rondo and Davis were, as well as Etuan Moore, who shot 11 of 14 from the field, 23 points. They weren't reliant on the three-point shot from their starters to really go out there and score, as evidenced by that. And the Pelicans on the night only shot 6 of 22. They are regressing hard to the mean in terms of three-point shooting. And I wonder if maybe that became a bigger part of the game because they were in a hot streak and shooting well. And, you know, here when you see 68 points in the paint when you shoot 6 of 22, that's good. They didn't try and just keep shooting out of the slump here. They went and they did what they needed to do and the ways they can score easily, which is in the paint. So they pounded it that way. But you didn't get that from DeMarcus Cousins throughout the majority of the game. He was quiet through the first three quarters. He scored, of his 20 points, 14 or 16, I don't have the numbers in front of me, in the fourth quarter. So basically, more than three quarters to 80% of his points came in the fourth quarter once Anthony Davis went down. And he said it as much in the post-game interviews when he wasn't getting really excited about Alabama getting interceptions, that Davis went down and he realized he needed to step up. So he did. That's great. I love hearing that. Your star player goes down, your next player goes, we got to carry the load, we got to do this. Perfect. Where the hell was that attitude for the first three quarters? How about you don't come out and play with hustle and heart and energy and all of that when only in the fourth quarter and just ignore doing that for the first three? He was frustrated with foul calls. That's fine. He spiked the Gatorade on the ground, which it took multiple minutes to clean up and was kind of funny, I won't lie. But where was this before? I don't want that to only come out when Anthony Davis is injured and not playing. And this is just the issue that the teams had. You could actually say this team is very consistent. Consistent in that they're inconsistent, and now we're just talking word circles around myself here, and I hate this. So, look, they should have come out firing. This is the issue with the team. They're not consistent enough with their energy and their effort. And they need to be doing this on a nightly basis, quarter-to-quarter basis. But you're not seeing that. And that's what's holding this team back. Again, when I was on the radio with Gus talking about why, even though the Pels are above 500 at 20-19 and kind of solidly-ish in the eighth spot of the Western Conference and only, you know, really a game out of the sixth seed here, that you don't feel that good about this team. And that's the energy and everything. Yeah, they were expected to finish seventh or eighth in the Western Conference, and they're on target for that. Great. Cool. Except we've seen that their ceiling should have been higher than that. It shouldn't have been predicted to be just seventh or eighth if you're looking at everything going well for this team, because they've played so damn well at times and shown so much talent that, yeah, they should be in contention for the fourth and fifth seed. Absolutely, they should have been from the get-go if they could just put it all together. But as they're currently constructed, for whatever reason, whether it's coaching, players, what have you, they're not doing that, and that's what makes this a disappointment. So even though the Pelicans get a win last night, it doesn't necessarily erase that bad taste from your mouth. So before talking about Jrue Holiday and the really good underappreciated season he is having currently, fantasy sports fans, listen up. Did you know that your chances of winning on draft.com, the Play Draft app, are 80% better than on salary cap sites? And that's why Draft is my favorite fantasy football app. No more getting crushed by the pros. And it's not just me. More than 1 million people have already downloaded Draft as well. Play in a real live NBA draft right now, be done in under 5 minutes, and get paid out the next day. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join one whenever you want. That's the difference here. It's a snake draft like you do in a normal fantasy league. On those salary cap sites, everyone can just buy the players they want. So when you pick big name players, Davis, Cousins, even Holiday now is starting to get picked up constantly in those things, it doesn't do you any good because everyone else has them. It's not, you know, when you draft LeBron James in your fantasy league, that's great. Except it's not when everyone else has LeBron James. You got to go dark horses, underdogs, little things like that, that is not easy to do. And pros have access to more information, spreadsheets, all of that than you do. It doesn't help you win any money. But on Draft, Play Draft, and the Draft app, it's not like that. You draft a guy, he is yours. You reap the benefits and just you alone. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code LockedOnPelicans. That's right. Playing a real money draft for free just by using my promo code LockedOnPelicans. But it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Pelicans listeners a money-back guarantee up to $100. You got no reason not to give this thing a try. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play for free right now with the promo code Locked On Pelicans. So we need to talk about Drew Holiday a little bit before we look ahead to this Memphis game and the mindset that the Pelicans need to be in and where we want to see him. And that's because Drew Holiday is really having an excellent season right now for the Pelicans, and it's kind of being underappreciated and not necessarily even something that we expected. Look, we knew this guy has talent, but we've seen some issues with him out there on the court with Davis and Cousins in playing that point guard role. And I mean, the eye test said it, the stats backed it up. All of this was very obvious to anyone who really paid much attention to the Pelicans. So him switching off guard and playing that two guard role made a lot of sense. And he struggled very much to start the year. Partially because he was still being asked to play the point guard role. Rondo went down, and everything he had been practicing this offseason and in the role he was accepting, being the third guy instead of the second kind of, all went out the window with that because he was now asked to be the point guard again. That's not a good thing. He got all of a sudden all that preparation you just did is out, and now you're in something where you didn't really want. And you know, through 21 games to start the season, he was shooting horribly from three in under 30% and like a bit over 27%. But now that Rondo's come back and he's allowed to switch over, the numbers have really skyrocketed. And on the season, and I'll take a look at the numbers at some point for just since Rondo's been there, he's averaging 18.1 points per game. That is a career high and higher than his all-star year, his last year in Philadelphia. No, he wasn't quite really an all-star. That was more due to injuries with Rose being out, Wall being injured, and he kind of snuck in there. But it's higher than that. It's almost 3 points higher than what he was scoring last year for the team. His rebounds are up and are at a career high. And you've got to just like everything about what he's doing. He's been shooting significantly better, the highest field goal percentage of his career. The list could go kind of on and on and on. You'd like some more free throws. That's in line with the career averages, but they're not there. And he's been shooting significantly well from three after that rough start to the year. So everything here has looked really good for Drew Holiday. In addition to playing in all of the games this year, he started 39 out of 39 possible games by the time I recorded this. He's, you know, that shooting guard role has really opened him up, and it's been very impressive. And we need to talk a bit about this in depth some more. So the impact from Rondo, again, can't necessarily be overstated in this. Rondo's given out 52 assists to Drew Holiday this year, by far more than any other player, as it probably should. I mean, he's the point guard there, so that's no surprise. But it's just opened everything up for him more when you look at some of the numbers here. Holiday's shooting 66.3% in the restricted area, so basically at the rim, which is highest of his career. When you look at his shooting in terms of touch time, basically with the ball, when he touches the ball for less than 2 seconds, overall he's shooting 62.7%. When he's touching it in between 2 and 6 seconds, 55.9%. And then when he holds the ball longer, 6 plus seconds, 44.8%. 6 plus seconds is when he's playing point guard and initiating the offense. Nothing's there, so he jacks up a shot. When he's playing under 2 seconds, he's cutting and going and scoring that way. And that 2 to 6 range is him kind of driving to the rim and scoring. So he's very efficient and very effective in those manners. And he's shooting the three ball now from the corners much better as well. So he's doing basically everything that you want him to be doing. And that is unlocked. As I said, this was how you want to judge the Rondo signing. There's been good and there's been bad from Rajon Rondo being here in New Orleans. The defense is not great with him out there. the offense can probably be okay without him at a certain point. If you can get another creator to take some of the minutes, because Jameer Nelson has been atrocious, that's another topic for another day for the Pelicans. Though worth noting, the other night, he didn't play in the second half against the Detroit Pistons, and those minutes really went to Ian Clark. So maybe the guard rotation is changing, likely for the better for the Pelicans this year. But again, Holiday is playing incredibly well. Again, getting to the rim, scoring that way, which is what he's best at. He can shoot from mid-range, but you want him driving and scoring because he is strong. And though he doesn't get to the line, part of the reason he doesn't get to the line is because he is an effective scorer. He uses his body to create space. I've written about this over at bourbonstreetshots.com in the past. He drives and gets a little elbow on the guy, kind of pushes off a little bit, but not enough for the foul. He's strong enough that if he kind of jumps into a bit, big man, he's going to bounce right off, and that's actually going to give him some separation to create space for a jump shot or a shot right at the rim or in the paint. Exactly what you want to see out of him. That's why he doesn't get to the line. It's just because he can score effectively, and they don't tend to call fouls because he uses his body really well. More than that, though, his defense has been tremendous this year, and that's been important as the Pelicans struggle defensively. Overall on the year, Drew Holiday is allowing opponents to shoot 42.8% against him. 42.8% against him. That's down from 45.4% that opponents normally shoot against him. It's a difference of negative 2.7%. That's one of the higher on the Pelicans team, particularly on the perimeter. He kind of locks down a little bit on the three-point line and can close out. He's one of the better guys that can do that. Of course, struggles much further in, but he is effective because he stops people driving from the lane. Go back to that Jazz game and watch him defend Donovan Mitchell and basically neutralized him. Donovan Mitchell's been lighting everyone up, and Holiday effectively cuts off every drive he has to the rim using his size. Again, a 7-foot wingspan certainly helps, and having quick feet and that just those long arms, you can poke balls away, and he gets a lot of steals, which in turn lead to a lot of fast break points for the Pelicans. Now, while we're excited about this, don't forget Holiday was playing at a near all-star level before the break last year in the run-up to that. Too late to really be considered for it, and he likely wasn't going to be anyway in the Western Conference, but was playing at an incredibly high level, just like he is right now. But then slumped. He'd slumped to start the year. He came out strong towards the middle and then slumped towards the end after the DeMarcus Cousins trade. I'm curious now, does that keep up or is it going to kind of stay this way? Who knows just yet? We'll find out, but it's worth keeping an eye on. But at the moment, let's all appreciate the play of Drew Holiday. Don't forget, check out LockedOnPelicans.com. Right now, while the Pelicans did get that win, and they've got a very winnable game coming up tonight against Memphis, which I will talk about in just a minute, it has been kind of doom and gloom and pessimism. And it's not just that people want to kind of crap on this team. There's very real reasons why this is the case and why, even though they're still on pace for the playoffs, that they're a disappointing team. We've got it covered over at LockedOnPelicans.com, as well as some optimism, so it's not just one-sided. Please make sure you check that out. Check it out every morning. We've got daily content over there for you at LockedOnPelicans.com. So the Pelicans are on the road tonight in Memphis to take on a really disappointing Memphis Grizzlies team, and a Memphis Grizzlies team that's in a very weird spot. They're 12-27 tied for last, in the Western Conference, and not necessarily in position to really blow it up. They've already fired their head coach, David Fizdale, who everyone seemed to kind of think was a pretty good head coach. Their offense is in the bottom third of the league. Their defense is in the bottom third of the league. They play with a slow pace. They've got Mike Conley, their great point guard, out. Chandler Parsons has missed the past four games. We don't know if he's going to be playing yet tonight. And they've just been kind of a mess. They're in a weird spot where they can't rebuild necessarily because of these big contracts. That Parsons contract, the Gasol contract, the Connolly contract. Unless they start trading all of those guys away, which maybe they can, but you're not going to get great value, I think, in the trade climate for Gasol or Conley, or you're not going to get anything for Parsons. And maybe their best player this year has been Tyreek freaking Evans. So you know what that means. We're in for a Tyreek revenge game tonight. This guy's been shooting 41.6% from three on the year, averaging 19.7 points per game, dishing out almost 5 assists per game, grabbing 5 boards, and not even turning the ball over. He's having one of his best seasons yet as a pro, as he's kind of reinvented himself, maybe getting healthy and actually committing to rehab to become healthy is a good thing as well. But look, this is a team that the Pelicans should beat, and it shouldn't be close. Memphis is, if you look at it, basically since they fired Fizdale, it's just all red. Since I don't have the numbers, I'm just looking at it. Since November 11th, they've won 5 total games. Okay, 5 total. They fell out of like first place in the Western Conference, admittedly, after like 7 games, and then I think they were 5-2, and just dropped from there and have sank. That's how bad they are. Pelicans should be able to walk in and get a victory, but you're only going to do that, as we've said, if they go in with the right mindset. This is the most important thing here. They know they're more talented than this team. They know they can probably not try all that hard, and in theory, they should get the victory. But if they go in doing that, we've seen, they get stunned. They've lost to teams for those very reasons, and they can't take this game for granted. They can't think they're the Warriors, have that sense of entitlement, and, oh, we're better, so let's just go and get the W and get out of here, because this team will surprise you, and you're going to end up giving up 40 points to Tyreke Evans or something like that and lose the freaking game, particularly without Anthony Davis. In that victory over Detroit, the Pelicans looked dialed in once Anthony Davis went down. There we go, as I froze for a second. So they were dialed in. They were ready to play. They knew what they needed to do. Can they do it again? We've seen at times when Davis goes down and isn't there, they just kind of check out. They've been kind of checked out on the road a little bit, even though they have a better road record than home record. So who knows? This is, again, where you can kind of get an idea of what's going on in their minds. They came out sloppy against Detroit. There were about 18 turnovers, I think the number was, in that game. That's the bad from that. You can't keep doing this. At a certain point, if you want to be considered a legitimate playoff team, even if you're just going to get in, you've got to go and just do what you need to do. Play inside, don't get reliant on the three, and don't wait until the fourth quarter to wake up. That's what you need to see. That's what's going to quiet down a lot of the noise around this team. So let's see if the Pelicans can go out and do it. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Enjoy the game tonight. I will be watching. Hopefully the Pelicans can get a victory. We will have lots to talk about still in the rest of the week. We'll take a look at the Western Conference standings tomorrow. I want to check in on the Tulane men's basketball team because they've got a couple of key signature wins already in the season, beating Temple on the road, beating SMU at home. Those are big victories for the Green Wave, and as an alum, we're going to have some fun. That's basketball in New Orleans and something we definitely should take a look at. So that's coming up all later in the week for Locked On Pelicans. Thank you all for listening today. Don't forget playdraft.com, the draft app. Download it today. Use the promo code LOCKEDONPELICANS. Win some money. You guys are smart NBA fans. I know this. I talk to you all on a daily basis at times, and we interact on Twitter. Go prove it and win some money. So thank you all for listening. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.